So it's that part of the week where we take a look at everything happening in football, the other side of the Atlantic. MLS Monday is here. As always, we're joined by Drew. Good morning, Drew.
Yeah, good morning, Andy. I hope you're staying dry this morning because it is wet where I'm at.
Absolutely. It's not nice at all. Now, let's have a look at the recent goings-on. I think really the main point of concentration with Major League Soccer is the fact we have reached the playoffs. I know that last week you were saying that a great game for fans to watch. Maybe those who aren't into Major League Soccer as much as others would have been the one featuring Portland Timbers and the Whitecaps. That was actually on about, what was it, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning? So not many may have stayed up for it, but by the looks of it, it was a decent game.
Yeah, it was a decent game. And for us here in the UK, it would have been a bit of a chore staying up that late with a West Coast game in the US and Canada. But yeah, it was a good game. But in the end, Portland coming out 2-0 winners, really controlling much of this game. Got an opener from Fanundo Addy, and really never looked back as Vancouver were chasing the game throughout. And Portland, who, they didn't come into the playoffs being, I guess you could say, that strong of a team overall in the regular season, not as strong as Vancouver, but a really good end of the month or end of the last month for them in the regular season. And they've really parlayed that into the conference championship game on November 23rd.
And what about the other side in the West going through? I'm gutted to say it is not Seattle. They've been a long-term favourite of mine with players like Clint Dempsey and Obafemi Martins. They just weren't strong enough in the end, were they?
No, they weren't. But this was a very dramatic game last night between these two sides. And really, for 80 minutes, it looked like Seattle were the team that were going to go through. But I believe it was 84 minutes, Tesho Akindele headed home for Houston and put them ahead on aggregate. But it was Chad Marshall from Seattle, who for a moment looked like he was putting Seattle back through again on aggregate as the game went down to the wire. But in stoppage time, it was Walker Zimmerman putting Dallas back on level terms on aggregate. Very dramatic there as we went down to the end in that last 10 or so minutes. And in the end, nothing could separate them in extra time. And Dallas going through on penalties 4-2. So they will face Portland next week, or actually in a couple of weeks after the international break, to see who goes to the MLS Cup final.
And in the East, there was one more dramatic series. Of course, these games in the conference semi-finals were over two legs. There was a more dramatic one, which we'll move on to in a second. First, a bit more routine, as the Wright Phillips brothers find themselves in the conference finals, New York beating DC United.
Yeah, absolutely. And DC, just, I would say, in my opinion, dreadful over the two legs. Quite sloppy play from them in both games, and really not able to get anything going in either. And New York continues their dominance over DC this season. That's four wins and one draw in their five games. And New York just looking, quite professional, getting the job done at all costs. And I really, since earlier this season, writing for WorldSoccerTalk.com, I've been praising the New York Red Bulls, and I've really enjoyed watching their brand of football, and especially watching Bradley Wright Phillips score the goals.
And to that other game then, a lot more drama as we saw the other tie in the East at Columbus. They were taking on Montreal Impact, and it was a game of two halves, to use that dreadful metaphor. It was, of course, two games, but both going very different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. The Impact came out on top in that first game 2-1, with Columbus getting that very important away goal. And in the second game, it ended up finishing the same way. At least that was after regulation time. Kiki Kamara getting a goal early on in that first half before Dilly Duca from Montreal leveled. And it looked like, again, Montreal were going to go through. But Ethan Finley dramatically putting Columbus back on level terms, and that forced extra time where Kiki Kamara put Columbus Crew back ahead. And Columbus never looked back there in extra time, as the magic in Montreal and Didier Drogba and all those wonderful things that they had done comes to an end. But Montreal really tiring down the end of that game. They've been playing football since early on this year. They finished second in the CONCACAF Champions League. They had the Canadian Domestic Cup to worry about as well. So Montreal has played a lot of football and a lot more than Columbus this season. So I think those legs just got a little bit tired at the end of the game last night.
Well, as Drew mentioned, the international break is being observed by Major League Soccer. So the conference finals, the first legs of these take place on the weekend of Sunday the 22nd of November. The first game, Columbus versus New York, is at 10 o'clock UK time. And then if you're up early into Monday morning, Portland Timbers against FC Dallas, I think, starts at half midnight. But Drew, while we've got you on the phone, there is something a bit closer to home that I wanted to ask you about. Last week, Huddersfield Town surprised a lot of people. They relieved Chris Powell of his managerial duties at the Terriers and brought in a name that's largely unknown, particularly to Huddersfield fans, but I think generally actually outside German football, a guy called David Wagner. I know a lot of people were checking Wikipedia quite early on. He was also edited to be Huddersfield head coach long before it was confirmed, but he's somebody who's worked in Germany. He's worked with Jurgen Klopp at Borussia Dortmund, but he has a US connection. He had several caps for the US men's team back in the 90s, didn't he, Drew?
Yeah, that's right, and you and I spoke last week, at the end of last week, when he was appointed, and neither of us really knew a lot about David Wagner, but he does have a US connection, but it's not a very big one, really, Andy. You and I have talked about coaches from the US, such as Bob Bradley or Bruce Arena, making the way over to Europe and getting some coaching experience, at least that we were hoping maybe they could get that here in the UK or possibly Germany. But David Wagner is being kind of held up as an American coach. He does hold a U.S. passport through having an American father, but unfortunately compared to some of the other coaches, again, Bob Bradley and Bruce Arena, he never did play or coach in the U.S. or MLS, and he's mostly been at Borussia Dortmund as one of the right-hand men of Jurgen Klopp when he was there. But he did, as you said, he did play for the U.S. men's national team between 96 and 98, only picked up 8 caps at that time. I believe they were playing far less internationals at that time, the U.S. were. Really, he didn't make much of an impact for the U.S. national team. And as I said, he really only qualifies as an American, really, just because of his dad and holding a U.S. passport, much like a few of the current men's national team members in the U.S., Jermaine Jones and Fabian Johnson. They both have, they qualify to play for the U.S. through their parents being ex-U.S. military who were stationed in Germany. And so Wagner just qualifies in that same way. So in my opinion, not quite like a Bob Bradley or a Bruce Arena that we can hold up as saying, well, this is an American coach and he's gone over and he's had all this success, because he did get much of his coaching education there in Germany. So, you know, it is quite a surprise to see him go to Huddersfield. But in the grand scheme of American soccer, I don't really see him making that big of a, I guess you can say, contribution to American soccer.
I know that you'll have been monitoring what a lot of people in MLS will have been saying, and a lot of the fan sites and things. Has it got much attention over there, or has this very much gone under the radar in America?
You know, I think it's a little hit and miss. I did see an article on MLSsoccer.com talking about Wagner and the fact that he did play for the U.S. men's national team. But other than that, I think that there have been a few articles tying him in that time between 96 and 98, but I think a lot of people will go back to what I've said about he hasn't really got that education in the game through the U.S., such as coaches like Bob Bradley or Bruce Arena or any of the other coaches who are coming up right now that, you know, someday could go abroad and coach.
As a Huddersfield fan, Drew, just give me a moment just to dream for a second. If David Wagner gets us to the playoffs or even the promised land that is the Premier League, do you think suddenly America would look at him and go, yes, he is one of ours? Or do you think that even then there might always be that slight distance?
No, I think that absolutely would be the case. I think you would see a lot more coverage of Huddersfield, and I think you would see a lot more people making that tie between him and the U.S. And, you know, there's no reason he couldn't end up someday going over to the U.S. and coaching, whether it's MLS or the U.S. men's national team. He has, I haven't got to watch a lot of Borussia Dortmund's reserve team, but I assume learning under Jurgen Klopp, he's got a lot of that same style, and that's quite in vogue right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if someday we get to see a little bit more love for David Wagner over in the U.S., as his career progresses as a coach. He's still, I believe this is his first time as a senior coach, so only 44, so he's got a long way to go still in his career.